get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Niche Website Builder Podcast. Mark and Adam here. Thought we'd drop by and say hello before James gets going with a great guest. Just to let you know that we've still got some great Black Friday offers running. So if you've been thinking about getting content for your website or link building for your website, now is the best time of the year to do that. All of our content packages, so that's just content on its own, aged domains, done for your websites, basically anything that involves content for the next week, comes with 20% free additional content. And also on our link building packages, we're running offers on our brand new digital PR service, which is getting amazing results for clients. And that discount looks like 5% off monthly subscriptions. If you sign up for 3 months and pay the 3 months up front, then you get 7.5% discount. And if you sign up for 6 months and pay the 6 months up front, then you get a massive 10% discount. So if you've been thinking about doing any of these things for your website, now is obviously the best time of the year to do it. And also a couple of people have asked us if they can, for example, buy a digital PR campaign now and take use of the discount and then use it in the new year. And you can totally do that. So go head on over to the website. It's our Black Friday page on deal page on there and pick up your coupons. But we also want to let you know about some awesome shows that we've also got this week. So Mark, what's going on this week?
Yeah, so we've got another show with Craig Campbell this week on Tuesday the 6th with Elena. So she's doing some of our aged domain teardowns. If you're familiar with them on our channel, Elena goes through some aged domains that we have in our inventory, and she kind of does some analysis on kind of how you can kind of build that domain out into a business. So she'll be doing some different domains on Craig's channel compared to our own. So go and check that out on Tuesday the 6th on Craig's channel. You can kind of watch the replay as well. It's a live stream, but you can go and watch the replay. And then this week, also on the 7th, we have the Niche Lifestyle Show. So we have our very last Niche Lifestyle Show with Alex and Doug. So we decided to draw a line under the show this year, start something fresh again next year. But we're going to do one final show with all of us, and that's next week. That's this week on the Wednesday, the 7th. And then on the 8th, we have Jake and Jack doing how to launch a successful seasonal digital PR campaign. Jake and Jack are kind of heading up our service for Niche Website Builders. As Adam said, been getting great feedback on that, and we've been sharing a lot of the knowledge already on our channel if you haven't checked it out. So that should be another interesting show. So, yeah, I think that about sums it up, Adam.
Awesome. Yeah, and if you haven't gone back and watched Jake's video over the last 2 weeks on reactive digital PR and digital PR using data, like I 100% highly recommend it. It's amazing. We'll head back to the podcast, enjoy this week's episode with James, and we'll catch you all soon. Bye, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today, we have a good friend of mine, Rick Agraville. Now, Rick recently exited an e-commerce business earlier this year, and he's now director of marketing at a clothing company. And we talk about pay-per-click advertising. Recently, he spent $1,000 for advertising for this brand over Black Friday. And we kind of dive into the nuts and bolts of advertising, the different platforms, what you can use them for, how you can set up campaigns, and how you can make advertising profitable through testing. And Rick's got a ton of experience in this area. That's what he does for a living. It's what he did to build this brand to exit as well. So if you're selling digital products or you have your own e-commerce store, this podcast will be perfect for you. So sit back and enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. they provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
All right, welcome to the Niche Website Builders podcast. Today, we have good friend Rick. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, James. How you going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for coming on. This one will not be a video. We had to pull Rick away from work, well, while he's at work, to do this pocket to do this podcast. So this one will be no video, but don't worry, we're still going to share a lot of great tips. But do you want to maybe give a brief background about yourself, Rick, for the audience before we dive in?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Look, it's probably been for me about better part of a decade in the e-commerce space. Started my own e-commerce business. Sold that earlier this year, exited in April, and now I'm director of e-commerce for a streetwear and apparel brand in NZ, which is I Love Ugly. And we're just coming on the back of our biggest Black Friday sale, and yeah, lots to probably talk about and jump into on that, but that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Nice. He's downplayed a little bit his e-commerce business, so if anyone's listening to this from New Zealand, Rick had pretty much the biggest online butcher service in New Zealand delivering meat to households, and he recently sold that. So no, nothing to scoff at there either. But I wanted to go into, I mean, you just spent a shit ton of money doing some Black Friday campaigns for that company there. And I think most of the audience, while they might not be on the, I guess, pay-per-click side, a lot of people more on the affiliate display ad side, but there are people with digital products looking for other ways to diversify their traffic and make more money. So I think this will be good for the listeners too, to help potentially diversify their income. But before we go into what you've been doing with this company you're with now, let's maybe start at the very top level of pay-per-click marketing, and that is the different platforms you can advertise on. Google, Facebook, whatever. Obviously TikTok now has become pretty popular as well. I guess, do you want to maybe dive into kind of like the pros and cons of each, and where or why you would use certain ones?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably best to caveat that with, it does depend on your product and your service and the mix you've got in terms of what platform's going to resonate best for you. But with me and my own experience, having a foot in, I suppose, more than just one vertical, there are some rule of thumb tenets to go by, and that's really, you know, driving traffic to your store or your product, wherever it may be, is the number one kind of deliverable, and that's how much your appetite is to pay per click in driving that traffic. Look, there's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok now on the scene as well. Those are very much discovery platforms. That's where you want to put your brand or your offer or your message out and get people seeing it for the very first time. And then you've got other avenues. You look at Google and the suite of products they have for advertising. That's more focused really around people or shoppers who are showing intent, and you're capturing that and pulling them in. So it's always having that appropriate mix of, you know, push and pull advertising. And again, that depends on what stage you're at in your journey as well. If you're just starting out, you're going to be heavily, you know, have a leaning towards discovery and acquisition for new customers. And if you're pretty established and you're a household brand or you're on that kind of trajectory, then, you know, you're going to be perhaps down the other end of it. But I think the trap a lot of people fall into is the romanticism of driving traffic to site, forgetting about what the traffic does when they hit that site. You know, you've got a cost per click that can be anywhere from 40 cents up to about $6, depending on your customer lifetime value, your margins. That's going to dictate what your appetite is in terms of how much you pay per click. Someone who's a dentist and makes $600 of margin on their first appointment, and then that person comes back five times in their lifetime, then, you know, you're going to pay a lot more for a click than someone who's selling a widget that delivers them a, you know, 80 cent margin, and they need to chase the volume game. So there's those things to consider as well, and that helps, you know, shape up what your marketing mix looks like, where you're prepared to pay and drive clicks from.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you mentioned that platforms like Facebook, Instagram and things are, you consider them more discovery platforms. Does that mean you're still doing like retargeting, I guess, campaigns on those platforms too, with, I guess, people that are visiting the site or visiting certain pages? Or are you looking mainly at cold traffic there to almost like a brand campaign on those platforms?
Yeah, good question. I think it's still conversion focused. So you're still trying to find someone who's viewing your product or service for the very first time, and you're still trying to convert them based on, you know, kind of best principles of direct marketing 101, direct response copywriting, etc. It's hard to really commit to going, this is how much we're going to put on Facebook as a platform for brand sake and brand alone. You know, there's always an element of your spend that goes towards that, but that can't be the sole objective. You've got to see that medium as somewhere where you can convert people. In terms of retargeting, it is getting harder and harder with privacy and lack of tracking to really know who is falling into that retargeting audience. So there has become, and this continues to be the trend, a focus on your top of funnel efforts, you know, that prospecting piece, because the visibility around your return on advertising dollars is getting more and more murky. Not to say that we don't do it, you absolutely can, but people have to opt in. It then becomes a game of correlation, you know, how much am I spending in those middle and bottom of funnel campaigns, and what do I really deem is coming out the bottom end? And that does take some time.
Well, I lost you a little bit there, Rick. You still there?
Yep. I'm here. You got me? Yep. I'm still here, mate.
Yeah, I got you there now.
You got me back? Okay. I'm not sure where you lost me. I was on a rambling rant.
You still there? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, no, I caught most of it.
Okay, I think the bottom line is just visibility is we're losing it more and more as time goes on, and I think that's going to be the trend. So we have to get better as marketers and advertisers to do 9/10 of our conversion based advertising at top of funnel, at cold prospecting, relying on other channels like email. If you've got an app, your push notifications and pushing downloads, all of those other things in our toolkit to retain customers, and essentially kind of, yeah, have more efficiency of ad spend at the end of the day, because the longer you keep someone and the more they're spending, the cheaper your advertising efforts become.
Nice. So how does that top of funnel look for you then to kind of optimize, I guess, that part of your funnel? Because I'm assuming that would be considered your hardest part of the funnel to convert people, because that's essentially cold traffic that hasn't seen your brand, hasn't interacted with anything. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a mixture. It really is. And then, you know, it's quite timely we're having this chat, because Facebook bought out this year their, what they call their Advantage Plus product. So I think it's no surprise that Facebook's, you know, losing month on month active users. Advertising dollars are finding their way into other platforms like TikTok, etc. YouTube Shorts have come out, so there's a lot more competition for ad space, and Facebook have kind of been painted into a corner to make their proposition that much more compelling. They've had the rule of the roost for so long, but now they're being forced to innovate a bit. And they rolled out Advantage Plus, which at the same time, I think a lot of small operators that jump on Facebook and try and figure out the formula to advertise with success on there, it can be pretty daunting. There's a lot to learn, and you do need to learn quickly when you're putting your bootstrapped dollars into any advertising effort. So I think they want to make it more automated and more easier. So that's essentially their algorithmic tool that's going, we know where to find people. You just give us a number of ads, a number of headlines, a number of call to actions, and we'll put it in front of people that we know are going to resonate with your product. Obviously, there's a learning phase with anything, so you go through that learning phase, and then it starts to find those people. So that's one aspect, and it's showing pretty positive ROI. Granted, you're being fed that ROI from the very platform that's taking your advertising dollars, so you do want to take it with a grain of salt, but that's something that's come on the scene that's new. And then you've got what's always been the case with Facebook is trial and error with, you know, affinity audiences, detailed interest audiences that you think resonate with your brand or product, and that's an ongoing process, and just trying to find, you know, the little wins. You know, you're not going to find a detailed interest audience that's going to drive 90% of your conversions. But if you get five or six of those that each drive a pretty good amount, the accumulated impact of that is pretty strong. And then you've got tools like Facebook has for, you know, lookalike audiences and things like that, which kind of go hot and cold. But it's something you just need to roll in and out of your mix. So it's typically a combination of those, as well as using just the broad targeting feature as your control, and you're always, you know, using what's happening in those products like Advantage Plus or your detailed interest audiences and comparing that to the control, which is broad targeting, which just basically lets the algorithm do what it needs to do with absolutely no input or guidance from you as an advertiser. So that's essentially in basic terms how top of funnel works. In terms of the actual ads, that's something that you're always testing and iterating. You're refining your copy, refining your offer, where you're sending them to on your website, depending on if you're multi-product or single product. Are you building out a dedicated sales landing page that converts cold traffic better than if you just sent them to your site and let them figure it out on their own? Those are all the secondary, considerations after you build out that top of funnel plan.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned about the broad traffic as the control. So you're basically doing that's your control, as in you're benchmarking the results of your other traffic. What would you call them? Traffic, I guess, acquisition campaigns. Versus the broad, and if they're not beating that broad match, then you've got something, an issue going on?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got to have, you know, a watermark to go, this is what success looks like. I mean, we all know, you know, CPMs are going up each year. It's becoming costlier and costlier to acquire somebody, but we still need to get an idea of what does a little input look like if you know, we surrender all our efforts, and that's typically what broad targeting looks like. It's because there's so many plates to keep spinning when you're running campaigns at scale, that if it returned exactly the same cost per acquisition if you did nothing versus all the effort you're doing on the back end, well, obviously it would be easier just to do nothing and you can put your efforts elsewhere. So it's a good indicator that, you know, you're on the right track and you can compare yourself to that and is that improving or is it worsening, and what are we doing to help push that needle. It doesn't need to take up a huge amount of your budget, but it's good as just a litmus test than anything else.
I think budget is also a good place for us to kind of steer this conversation too, because we can get in and almost be like, okay, I'll just spend a few dollars a day and kind of see what happens. But I guess in your opinion, what kind of minimum spend are you looking at to really make advertising, I guess, effective?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's something that gets answered, again, differently depending on, you know, what it is you're trying to sell. Something that costs $900 and someone never really comes back again is going to have a different approach than someone who sells something that's a lower cost item. I think lower priced items sell better on platforms like Facebook. Yeah, I think if you're selling something that's a luxury item or more expensive, you really want to be putting your investment dollars into perhaps more intent-based search. So, you know, whether it's a search ad on Google, yes, you're competing with more people, but you've got to look at the dollars and cents and see what stacks up the best. But essentially, you need enough of a data set to go, okay, I'm really on the right track here, or I'm not. So typically, you know, conversion rates for sites on average, I mean, for cold traffic, you're looking anywhere between 0.5% and 1%, and 1% being pretty good.
Oh, okay.
So if you're sending 50 people to your site and you haven't got a conversion, you can't really get disheartened because you haven't had enough traffic hit the site to know if your offer is actually compelling enough for people to buy. So that's one aspect of it, is getting enough traffic to the site. And if you're getting no organic traffic, then you're kind of stuck where you need to do it via paid means, and you just need to kind of swallow the pill. And then on the other side of it, you know, is looking at frequency of your advertising. Like, you do want to have more than one touch point with your customer to get them to convert. In the good old days, it was like 3 to 5 touch points and until someone converts. Now it's like 15, 18, 20. So do need multiple touch points on not just one platform ideally, but if your budget confines you to one platform, then you have to go, okay, well, am I spending enough where I'm going to hit that potential customer with enough ads in a period of time where I'm going to get them to a point where they're going to purchase. You can't really, it's going to take a really, really irresistible offer to put into someone, in front of someone once or twice, to get them to go through to your site and purchase. That would be very much the unicorn scenario. And in my experience, you do just need to get in front of people multiple times before they start to exit that, you know, awareness and consideration phase and actually go through and think about a purchase.
Nice. I actually wanted to talk to you about, I guess, my recent try at this myself, my recent fail trying to do this. But after we talk now, I think I maybe should have gone with the Facebook route. But I guess the question is, my question is the landing page when doing this. So my thought process was, when I was trying to do this, I wanted to bring people to a squeeze page to have, you know, like the typical Clickbank or random affiliate sites, and they want you to sign up to watch the video kind of thing. But legitimate, all like the scammy shit you find out there. So I wanted them to come to my squeeze page, which kind of had like, hey, you know, this is a free ebook on the topic, and then take them to a one-time offer page for the training program. But I was advertising on Google. I was going after the training program keyword. So let's just take, for example, get big biceps, so big biceps training program, keywords like that. So I was sending them to a squeeze page that had maybe a free ebook on how to create your own big biceps training program, or 5 tips to get big biceps kind of thing that would take them to the program. And to me, I was kind of trying to figure out, it doesn't quite match, because the search term I was going after was the actual program, but my squeeze page wasn't the actual program. It was on the other side of that squeeze page. And I was thinking, okay, but if I advertise straight to the product and they don't buy it, then I don't have an email address, I can't follow up, nothing. So is there a strategy within that where you would maybe look to do that on a different platform like Facebook because it's more of a discovery thing, or is there something that I've just completely missed altogether there?
Yeah, no, I think you're on the right track. I mean, there's a few things. You know, testing different search terms. You know, could you really flesh that out? Could it be skinny biceps? Could it be, you know, how many kind of rabbit holes could you go down and see what gets the most traction there from a Google perspective? Mm. You're right in wanting to acquire the email address and take them off platform, because then, you know, that's zero party data. You own that and you can market to them as much or as little as you wish, and it costs you virtually nothing. The only problem with lead capture is the quality of those leads are always quite poor. Okay. Whereas if we take it to somewhere like, and I'll just use Facebook again, you've got top of funnel efforts, and then typically if someone doesn't convert top of funnel, they move down to your middle and your bottom. And just going back to your example you used for Google, and directing people to your landing page, your squeeze page, you could have different messaging depending on where that prospect is in your funnel. So at top of funnel, you might hit them with that initial ad that's a really compelling headline, gets them to click through. They might engage and offer their email address to get maybe a downloadable PDF that gives them enough but doesn't tell them how. They might go through to your website, you pixel them, they fall into your middle of funnel audience, and then you can hit them again with some different messaging. It might be some UGC around someone who's posted about using your course or your product. It might be a bit of a credibility piece around, you know, someone who you've helped and this is their kind of journey. And then if people still don't buy, then they fall down into bottom of funnel because they've had all these engagement points with you, but they haven't purchased. And then you give them an even more irresistible offer, and that acts as that, you know, that very bottom part of the squeeze page where it's 70% off or something along those lines. So trying to think of the prospect going through that journey, you know, sometimes the art of getting acquisitions through something like Facebook is just getting them to engage in that top of funnel stage. They might not convert right away, some will, but getting them to take some kind of action where you can retarget them, pull them into a retargeting audience where you can hit them with harder comms. As you get lower down the funnel, the audiences get smaller, your CPMs and click-throughs become more cheaper. So it means you can afford to either sacrifice margin or throw more budget at it in order to realize that conversion. So that's probably an example of maybe just having something that complements the Google strategy.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess the other question would be, I don't know if you've ever played around with this or had seen anyone do it with, what about taking someone at the top of funnel to an informational blog post that has, you know, your in-content opt-ins, call to actions for whatever it is you're selling within that actual blog post?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. The funny thing about Facebook is, depending on your objective, that really does drive the outcome. So 90% of the time, I'm going with a conversion objective of purchase or add to cart. If we look at traffic campaigns, reach campaigns, even spending, you know, horrendously high budgets, you don't see the conversions. And it's really, in a shorthand kind of way, it's Facebook's going, if your objective is traffic, I'll send heaps of traffic to your site, but these aren't people who buy anything. They are just people who click through from Facebook and check out landing pages and never buy. Whereas if your objective is add to cart or conversion, it's finding people who have a history of buying online, and they've got enough information on that kind of avatar to go, yep, these people do that, and I'll put your ads in front of them. So yes, that strategy does work, but I'll always do it under the umbrella of a conversion campaign. It becomes expensive, but it has a better ROI in the end, whereas traffic and reach campaigns look really cheap on the front end, but they don't return you any conversions. But I'd test that alongside, you know, what I just mentioned previously and a few other ideas just to see, because your target customer might behave differently. You don't know that yet because you haven't kind of turned every stone over.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I guess what's your experience with newer advertising platforms like TikTok in terms of, I guess, what are your thoughts on them? Have you dabbled in that area much?
Yeah, absolutely. So TikTok's, it's an interesting one. The attention is cheaper on TikTok because it's an emerging platform. It's got a few limitations. It's Chinese owned, so it comes from a different place, I suppose. But in saying that, the attention's cheaper. Everyone's still trying to figure out TikTok in terms of conversion-based advertising. The advantage is the attention's cheaper. It's cheaper to get clicks. The disadvantage is it's not so easy to automate. You have to create content to put on that platform, or you have to collaborate with content creators and have them post your product or feature your product in their posts on that platform. That's another layer of complexity and sometimes cost if you're to do that yourself. I think the brands that are killing it on TikTok are brands that are pumping out content for arguably low cost. Mm. So if you've got a product that is just resonating with people on there and you literally are doing it with your phone and it takes you only so long per day, you're doing well. If you have to spend a lot to create or curate content to go on that platform, you get upside down pretty quickly. You're spending more than you're making on that platform. But it's still very young in its journey. It's still in its infancy. It's still evolving. I think the key for TikTok is to build your organic presence. So you've got that credibility piece when you're running more ads, doing more of focusing on white labeling, which is similar to Instagram, where you can actually link your account with someone who posts on there organically, and you can pump advertising dollars behind their posts, almost like what used to be a boosted post on Facebook. Doing that via that platform, that way it removes the element of creating content from the advertiser, because it's like writer's block, sitting down and trying to pump out content if you don't have a stable of creators in-house can be really, really daunting, and you just don't get out of the starting block. So those are things that requires a little bit more maybe budget to get off the ground, but those are the brands that are doing well on there. That's typically what they're doing, and that's what we're doing.
Nice. Yeah, do you want to maybe dive into a bit of that? I know you just spent $1 million for Black Friday advertising. So we'll maybe dive into, I guess, what that process looks like, because for anyone listening, I'm sure you can't just throw $1 million into Facebook ads and just hope for the best. There's obviously a lot of strategy involved there. So do you want to maybe dive into some of that?
Yeah, sure. I'll try and keep it kind of high level. It gets really, you can get granular and into the weeds, and it can be just sound like a lot of noise. But at a high level, anytime you're looking at like $1 million media plan or a substantial media plan, you're looking at all the channels that you advertise on. You look at the ROI on those channels that you've got historically. You balance that with where you think your shoppers are going to be through this period. The cost to advertise goes sky high through November. So your hype campaign or hype portion of your Black Friday campaign is really, really important. It's going to drive 90% of the traffic that hits your site on day one. And day one is when you do 40, 50% of your total promotion sales. So first step is breaking it up into how much you're committing to hype, how much you're committing to, on day one and throughout. And from there, breaking it down to looking at your customer segments and going, well, how much am I going to give to top of funnel, mid of funnel, and bottom? What am I going to offer in the way of lead magnets or early opt-ins, and how am I going to treat VIPs versus those that are cold prospects to really create that hype around it. The weighting of spend as you go in when you're in the hype phase is very much your middle and bottom of funnel. It's previous purchases, it's people who engage and follow you on your socials. It's people on your mail list. It's people who have hit the website. And you break that down between the last 14 days, 30 days, 90 days, right up to 365 days and beyond. And you weight your spend more towards those people who are fresh, who have either consumed content or hit your site recently because they're more likely to purchase. And then as soon as you launch, it flips the other way entirely and it becomes about 80% prospecting. And at that point, you've actually got your offer live. So you're putting it out in front of those people and you're really pushing for them to get, in the door and convert. So really thinking about any campaign for a promotion in that way. How does it look in the hype? How do I prime people, get them excited? Then how does it look once I'm live and that promotion's going? And then for those who have hit the site and not converted, what am I doing in terms of my retargeting layer? Am I offering them something in the way of, extended discounts to get them in? I'm always making it, a time-bound offer to push that urgency. Do I follow that up with an SMS blast for anyone who's received that and still hasn't purchased? And I just look at it, from that top of funnel to bottom of funnel and breaking those pieces of the funnel down and just getting more granular, really. Bottom of funnel, we're looking at people who, have purchased in the past, but then we're breaking it down by who's purchased in the last 28 days, 60 days, 90 days, who's got the highest lifetime value. And we apportion, the budget accordingly. It's a mixture of, experience and educated guessing along with crystal ball gazing. We also have a portion of the spend that's purely reach, but we do reach across our middle of funnel and bottom of funnel because with a conversion-based campaign, we're not going to get 100% saturation. So reach campaigns are nice and cheap. So in terms of our hype, we utilize a reach campaign to make sure that messaging, because they can't buy anything while we're in hype, but we want to get the message out there. So we utilize reach to get across and get an additional touch point for a arguably low cost. And that has proven pretty effective as well. So yeah, it's really breaking down. And again, whenever you